Welcome to Savor. I'm Danielle Beck Ellsworth, a licensed marriage and family therapist.
And I'm Kelly Hines, a registered dietitian. And we're here with our first broadcast for season three of Savor Podcast.
Woohoo!
So I want to know, has anybody ever called you a crybaby or told you that you are too sensitive or that you need to toughen up a little bit? Because if so, this episode is especially for you.
Mm-hmm. So our Savor shout out for this episode is to Fatitude. Fatitude is a documentary that is currently in production. They were on Kickstarter and they surpassed their goal. However, they are continuing to look for financial support to get their movie edited and out there and marketed. You can find out more information at fatitudethemovie.com, and they're mainly covering weightism in Western culture. They're also looking at media and how media portrays people of larger body sizes. They have a couple great clips on their website already from the interviews they've been doing, and they have a trailer that you can look at. I also just saw this link they have called Take Action, which is 10 things you can do to stop fat hatred. So yeah. So if you know, maybe you're not able to financially support them, you can still support the cause by the things they have listed here in your own community. So check them out.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So are you highly sensitive? Well, we are going to be talking about this topic and especially pulling material from the book, The Highly Sensitive Person, How to Thrive When the World Overwhelms You, by Elaine Aron. That's A-R-O-N. And she is a self-proclaimed highly sensitive person and a researcher and psychologist. And so she put together this book, and she actually has other books on the topic that are about highly sensitive children. So how to parent highly sensitive children, and also in relationships. So how to be in a, as a couple, how to be in a romantic relationship if you or your partner is highly sensitive. And there's a highly sensitive person workbook. Lots of resources. But nice. I thought, Kelly, that you and I could start this off with actually taking her quiz together.
Okay.
We'll out ourselves.
Right.
So it's a little bit lengthy, but I encourage our listeners, if you want, grab a pen, or if you're driving and listening, you know, of course, pay attention to your driving. But maybe just make a mental note, you know, counting how many times the statements I say are true for you. So you just need to keep track of the truths.
Okay.
So I'll read the little blurb. It says, answer each question according to the way you feel. Answer true if it is at least somewhat true for you. Answer false if it is not very true or not at all true for you. So okay. There's really no like in between. You're kind of like rounding up or rounding down. Mm-hmm. So true or false, there are roughly about 20 statements that I'm about to read. So, and then at the end, I'll tell you how to tally it up.
Okay.
So, everybody ready?
I'm interested to see what happens here.
Okay. I already know what I am. Okay. Here we go. First one. I seem to be aware of subtleties in my environment. True or false? Other people's moods affect me. I tend to be very sensitive to pain. I find myself needing to withdraw during busy days into bed or into a darkened room or any place where I can have some privacy and relief from stimulation. I am particularly sensitive to the effects of caffeine. I am easily overwhelmed by things like bright lights, strong smells, coarse fabrics, or sirens close by. I have a rich, complex inner life. I am made uncomfortable by loud noises. I am deeply moved by the arts or music. I am conscientious. I startle easily. I get rattled when I have a lot to do in a short amount of time. When people are uncomfortable in a physical environment, I tend to know what needs to be done to make it more comfortable, like changing the lighting or the seating. I am annoyed when people try to get me to do too many things at once. I try hard to avoid making mistakes or forgetting things. I make it a point to avoid violent movies and TV shows. I become unpleasantly aroused when a lot is going on around me. Being very hungry creates a strong reaction in me, disrupting my concentration or mood. Changes in my life shake me up. I notice and enjoy delicate or fine scents, tastes, sounds, works of art. I make it a high priority to arrange my life to avoid upsetting or overwhelming situations. When I must compete or be observed while performing a task, I become so nervous or shaky that I do much worse than I would otherwise. When I was a child, my parents or teachers seemed to see me as sensitive or shy. Okay, that's last one. So, tally up your numbers.
Are those the same thing, sensitive and shy? Not really.
No, they're not. Yeah, okay, but that's...
So it was one or the other.
Right. So technically they're different, but she talks about that in her book about how people confuse them. And so somebody who is maybe highly sensitive or introverted, which is also different, may be labeled as shy, but they're not actually shy. They might be sensitive or introverted.
Okay.
So if you answer true to 12 or more of the questions, you're probably highly sensitive. So, and then she goes on, which I maybe this should, I'll read this. She says, but frankly, no psychological test is so accurate that you should base your life on it. If only one or two questions are true of you, but they are extremely true, you might also be justified in calling yourself highly sensitive. So,
does it have, and then that's it, it's just 12 or greater. It doesn't have any lower numbers.
Yeah. So it's more of like a screening tool. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So how many did you get?
I am actually shocked. What would you guess about me?
I would have thought you were highly sensitive.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I would not have really thought that.
Oh, okay. So you're shocked because you found out you are?
I got 12.
Yeah. There you go. So I think you already know because I've told you that I'm pretty highly sensitive. So I had 16.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you didn't see yourself that way.
No, but I didn't write down all the questions because we were going fast, but I have to say that some of the questions, I was kind of surprised that they were on there, and I can't give you an example, but I would not have thought like, oh, really? That makes you sensitive? You know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some I don't relate to at all, like the caffeine one, but that's probably just because I've had caffeine like my whole life. So, but let's see. The violent movie one,
that's true for me.
Okay. Yeah, I really relate to that one as well. And actually, after learning about highly sensitive person, and just for the record, it's shortened to HSP. So, I'll probably switch over to that acronym now, HSPs. So when I learned about HSPs, it was really validating to see that violent movies have a strong effect on them because I've felt that way forever since I was a kid. And I've never really understood really violent video games and why that's entertaining for people. I understand that it is, and that's, you know, it's totally fine if people want to play it, but I was never interested in doing that, and if anything, I wanted to not see it or hear it. And so I, when I go see a movie and like there was a lot of blood or a lot of people being hurt and it would upset me sometimes for multiple days afterwards, it would like stay with me. Mm-hmm. I thought like that was weird and something was wrong. And what I really like about Dr. Aaron's book is she pretty much says that, like, you know, if you're highly sensitive, you've probably felt like you're weird or something's wrong, but mm-hmm. you're not, you're just sensitive. Wow. So that was really neat. And it gave me permission to set boundaries with that. And so mm-hmm. I don't watch really violent movies when I don't want to. And like, uh-huh. if people give me a hard time about it, I'm like, it's just not entertaining for me. Like, it's really distressing, actually. Uh-huh. And being a therapist, you know, I hear pretty sad things, you know, mm-hmm. throughout the day. And I can totally manage that. And I'm very comfortable with that. But on my off time, I don't want to continue to watch distressing stories. Like, right. I'd rather watch something more uplifting.
Right. Yeah. Oh, man. Wow.
So
I have a question for you about okay. this, because you are the one who introduced me to this term in the past year or two. Mm-hmm. And I had an understanding of it from you. And I didn't really think that I would be a highly sensitive person, because I guess I'm not always sensitive to what other people are feeling or thinking. I don't feel like I'm that easily aroused. And so mm-hmm. sometimes I don't expect that of other people. So whatever, it surprised me. But what I am a little bit confused about, because based on what I understood from you, I've been reading different things online and seeing things about highly sensitive people. And I mean, I'm not going to say they're reputable websites or anything, but when I've read it, they're talking more about like almost like empaths, like I can feel the energy and I can tell what you're thinking and all of that stuff. Have you read that? Because that was kind of confusing me a little bit.
You know, that's so funny you bring that up. I haven't read about that, but I recently had someone tell me they thought I was an empath and I didn't know what that was. And I was like, what do you mean? And when they explained, I was like, oh, that kind of sounds like a highly sensitive person. So I don't know. I can't really speak to the energy field of study because I don't know much about it. But I think this can happen a lot in different fields of study where we use different words to describe the same idea. But because we're coming from a different lens and perspective or school of thought, we just call it something different.
Okay.
So maybe in that field, like this idea is called somebody, it's called intuition, or it's called being a person who's an empath and can, you know, really read people's auras, or, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they'd put it in that those terms, but in a psychological field, you know, they're calling it a personality trait. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what Dr. Aaron is introducing with her research, is that they're looking at seeing these collection of characteristics as its own personality trait.
Okay.
So it's like somebody, you know, can, you know, be, you know, some of the more what negative ones would be like narcissistic or antisocial or avoidant
personality. What about
personality.
Perfectionistic? Is that yeah. a personality
mm-hmm.
trait?
Perfectionistic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or what's the other one?
Harm avoidant.
Trait.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So these are all considered to be, you know, have a negative connotation. And you can, of course, have positive, you know, personality traits as well. And with HSP, she's trying to say that it's, you know, it's really kind of more neutral. It's what you do with it that can make it negative or positive. And it's mm-hmm. how it's viewed can make it negative or positive. Mm-hmm. And so she's kind of arguing for it to be its own entity, instead of seeing conscientious as one thing and perfection as another and sensitivity to pain as something else, but that this collection of characteristics is, you know, one identifiable trait. And then in the long run, you could attempt to really measure that in people and make it something more widely known. Because mm-hmm. it's not widely known. I think I'm pretty sure like 90% of people I bring it up with have never heard of it before. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And you said intuitive. So would you say that someone who has a really strong intuition is possibly a highly sensitive person?
I would argue they are. I don't have any evidence, like data on that, but I would say that, again, it's kind of a manifestation of being HSP, that you end up being able to pick up on, as one of the, you know, the statements here was, you know, essentially the nuances in a room. So they talk about, you can, you know, identify if there's, like, you know, discomfort in the room. And they're like, actually, I was at a talk this morning and there were a bunch of people who kept turning around and like wiggling in their seats. And then there was somebody who actually at my table who like moved to another chair. And there was, I realized there's, they're all uncomfortable because there was a woman in the back who was coughing a lot. And so, and that one might be more obvious, but I don't know if everyone in the room was like noticing what was going on. Like I was attuned to like six different people reacting to her coughing, and I wasn't trying to do that. You know, it was just, I'm trying to listen to the talk because it was really interesting, but my awareness was attuned to, oh, I, you know, they're fidgeting. Oh, they're giving her a dirty look. They want her to stop. I wonder if she's picking up on this, you know?
Right.
So that's kind of, you know, so I don't actually know. There's no, you know, I didn't interview these people or talk to them, but I would also describe that as like an intuition. Like these people are upset by her coughing. Or, you know, you're like, if I'm talking to a friend and then I might realize, okay, they're about to tell me something really serious, or, oh, they're upset about something. Maybe they haven't told me exactly what it is or even indicated there's anything, but I'm picking up on nonverbal cues, or, you know, there's this whole thing around micro expressions and just body language. And so
what's a micro expression?
They're really interesting. So we can't really see them with the naked eye, but your brain is picking up on all these really subtle expressions in the face. And they have been able to measure this, and some people are just really attuned to it.
So. And I think as practitioners, you know, I guess I believe that I am good at picking that up in clients, like what's going on with them. And, you know, if you have like a whole family in the room and you can see the mom and the dad talking and the kids withdrawing and, you know, like you can measure all of that and really see what's going on, you know, that maybe other people can't. So I guess I do know that I can do that very well. But I guess in my personal life, I was surprised that I would be doing that, you know.
Well, it seems,
go ahead.
Well, it seems if you could do it in one area of your life, you would still have that same skill set for another area.
Yeah, probably. You were saying something about, you're saying, oh, sometimes if I'm talking to my friend, I can kind of think, oh, they're getting ready to tell me something uncomfortable or something like that. And that just made me think of anxiety. And so is there some connection between anxiety and highly sensitive people? Is that a part of it?
So, well, let me actually back up a little bit and explain what it means to be highly sensitive.
Okay.
That might help. So we had that screening tool. But what it is it's a person who their nervous system is a little, you know, more sensitive. So their arousal is going to be set off probably faster or quicker than somebody else. And Dr. Aaron, in her research, estimates about 15 to 20% of the public is on the spectrum of highly sensitive people. So within that 15-20%, you have the severe, or not severe, but highly sensitive, very sensitive. And then you might have some people, you know, moderately, and then some that are less, and then some that just don't really fall into this category at all. And so what's going on in their body is that whether it's coming from auditory or taste or sight, that they get activated at a different level than the majority of people. And so that arousal, it isn't necessarily anxiety. And that's what she talks about is actually a common mistake, that people are told that they're anxious and they're given a label for their arousal. But they might not actually be anxious, because you can get mm-hmm. aroused for something exciting, something scary, something that angers you, you know, from different sensations, you know, and mm-hmm. so on. Or you can get overstimulated from all of these things as well. And so it doesn't mean you're fearful or anxious every mm-hmm. single time. It's just you're kind of at this higher state of activation, and it's generally uncomfortable. And so that's another point to make, is that any of us would be uncomfortable if we're really understimulated, like we're bored, mm-hmm. or if we're really overstimulated. So mm-hmm. with highly sensitive people, their parameters on that are just different. So they're, you know, they probably have a smaller range. So what gets them overstimulated is it's going to be different than somebody else who can tolerate it longer or mm-hmm. not notice longer. Mm-hmm. And same thing, they're more likely to get kind of bored faster. Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, potentially. And so, yeah, so hopefully that kind of answers your question around anxiety, in that it doesn't have to be, it can be, but it's not mm-hmm. necessarily the case.
Okay, right. So what about, I mean, when I guess in the past when I would think of sensitive, I don't know how to say this. I would probably think of it like, oh, you take everything so personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that part of it?
No.
Okay.
No, yeah, it doesn't have to be.
Okay.
So, yeah, the word sensitive has many meanings. And so it can have, you know, and it can have a negative connotation. And so the idea of taking something personally, yes, we've labeled that as someone being too sensitive to what's being said, but that is a separate idea than being an HSP. Okay. So someone can personalize things more often than somebody else, but that doesn't mean they're HSP. It's more of a cognitive process okay. that's occurring there, and maybe even a cognitive distortion if they're really okay. personalizing all the time.
That's a really good clarification for me.
Okay. Yeah, but you bring up a good point, because if you think of being sensitive and all of its meanings, it can also mean somebody who is understanding, and, you know, who's more caring. And so there's been backlash in that if somebody's not HSP, does that mean that, you know, they're less understanding and caring of other people's needs? Mm-hmm. And again, no, because mm-hmm. the way that it's being used here, it's not about, you know, the ability to understand somebody or care for them. It's more, again, about kind of attunement and being more aroused and stimulated, maybe potentially faster than somebody else is capable mm-hmm. of. So everyone, you know, has the potential to be understanding, but it could be that, again, someone can, with HSP, just is able to, at a faster rate, pick up on things and then decide to be understanding. So just because you pick up on things faster, or, you know, again, kind of even without your conscious control, you're picking up on things, it doesn't mean then you're still going to be an understanding, caring person. Okay. So, you know, you got to add that part in. So yeah, it's just kind of the HSP, the sensitive part of it is, again, kind of more attunement, and they're going to be set off a little bit faster, so mm-hmm. Than somebody else.
So this could actually be a really positive characteristic mm-hmm. then, and it seems like it might be a good person to be in a friendship or a relationship or a parent
yep.
to have somebody who's that in tune with things right. that are going on around them.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Uh-huh. I would say it could be a gift, uh-huh. but I'm a little biased. uh-huh. But yeah, I mean, I think it also helps being a therapist or someone in a helping profession to have this sensitivity. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But as I mentioned earlier, unfortunately, it being sensitive has a negative connotation in our society. And that's where we get the names of crybaby and you're too sensitive and you need to get over it. And, you know, these kind of expressions. And I think that's really harmful to especially children when they hear things like that, because they're being told that there's something wrong with them, especially boys. So that's another, you know, socialization process there, that, you know, if a girl is HSP, she still might get these comments, but it's more socially acceptable for her to be highly sensitive versus a male. It's less socially acceptable. It's seen, you know, as a more of a feminine trait. So, you know, that's really unfortunate. And I think where awareness and education about it can hopefully start to break down some of those assumptions and stereotypes. And so you mentioned it could be a really good thing. And in Dr. Aaron's book, she actually has a couple case studies. And one of the ones she mentions is about a young boy who's an only child. And in his family, his sensitivity was seen as a gift. And he was given a lot of validation and positive feedback for his sensitivity, and he flourished. You know, he did so well, like with life and career and relationships. And then she has examples of where, you know, young people were told that it wasn't okay that they were sensitive, and, you know, they needed to essentially hide what they were feeling and noticing, and be kind of, you know, just deal with it and be like the people around them. And they really struggled, you know, and these are people who, you know, maybe went on to develop other issues potentially, you know, could have exacerbated mental health issues they were going through, or just made them feel again like something's wrong with them.
Well, yeah, because as you were talking about that before, I was thinking, you know, how can this go awry? Because it probably could go awry, right?
Yes.
And so in eating disorders, we often talk about a set of personality traits that go along with anorexia, like people-pleasing and perfectionistic, and that can turn into, you know, or be really used in a negative way in the eating disorder. Or maybe people with bulimia have impulse control issues, and so their personality traits might feed their eating disorder in that way. So I was thinking, like, could this highly sensitive person trait be feeding into something that wasn't quite so healthy?
Yes, I really think it can. Yeah, there's no studies I'm aware of on eating disorders and HSP yet, but I think this is an area where we could really grow in research, because just from my own clinical perspective and what I see in my private practice, I mean, I think like 80% of my eating disorder clients are HSPs. And I
really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And that's where I think it makes them more vulnerable to negative life events turning into trauma and actually full-blown PTSD. So, you know, and if we think about that, it makes a lot of sense that if, you know, we all have negative life events, but if you're somebody who it, again, you know, more sensitive, then you're going to, your arousal, your overstimulation is going to set off earlier, and you're kind of just in that. And if you're in a, you know, abusive situation or stressful situation you can't get out of, you're just spinning in it, and it's going to have a greater impact on you. You know, because you're just, you're feeling it at a stronger level, you're feeling it earlier. And so, and we know that a lot of trauma goes with eating disorders as well. So that, that's where I see the overlap. And I find that, you know, if I have a client who, you know, is self-deprecating, you know, they're like, oh, I'm too sensitive, or I don't know what's wrong with me, but da 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 da. And I hear these, like, you know, HSP cues, I'm like, why don't we do this screening test? And it's just so validating for them. They're like, oh my gosh, like, yes, this is me. You know, there's a whole book about me. I'm like,
right.
Yeah. So I find it really helpful to bring it up. And I, yeah, I don't think I found anybody that I brought it up with and they didn't relate, you know, on some level. So it's,
okay.
Yeah. And, you know, we hear about this with eating disorders in other ways. Do you remember I think it was Carolyn Costin's metaphor about the canary bird.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So for our listeners, she talks about this metaphor that people with eating disorders are kind of like this early warning system for our society, for a poison society that's kind of being poisoned with like media and messages around gender and beauty. And so she talks about how, you know, back in the day with coal miners, they would release a canary bird into the mine because canary birds were really attuned to the air quality and they were sensitive. And so they would send a bird in, and if they didn't come back, they knew that it was toxic and that, you know, people couldn't go in there because they wouldn't be able to breathe. They would die. Mm-hmm. And if they came back, they knew it was okay. So she talks about that those who develop eating disorders are the canary birds. They're kind of, you know, they're saying, you know, their illness is telling us we have a culture that is not healthy and is really, you know, sending some very poisonous messages to young people, and we need to do something about it. And so that completely overlaps with this idea of someone with an eating disorder being more likely to have HSP traits.
Well, and I don't even think it would necessarily even have to be the culture. It could even be your immediate situation with your family. You know, maybe you're in a really sick system and you're not handling it. Maybe other people are or just stuffing it down or whatever. And so, you know, your actions are showing like, hey, I can't handle this.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, very true.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So as a therapist, you know, that's probably been very beneficial to you to be a highly sensitive person. I don't know if you want to share, because we didn't talk about this, but do you have any examples of how being a highly sensitive person might not have been helpful for you? Or
Yeah. So, well, just beyond like, you know, I have a couple cases where, you know, I had that situation of feeling like, am I weird? Is there something wrong with me? Why do people find this fun? And so there was the violent movies, but also loud environments I've always been sensitive to, but I didn't have the words to describe it before. I would just be feeling like irritable and not having fun and like, why are we doing this? You know, if we're in like a loud like club or restaurant or like Vegas, oh my gosh, Vegas completely overwhelms me. And like, I don't think I can ever go again. But yeah, when I went there, I was like, why is this place like supposedly so much fun? I'm like so overwhelmed here. And because there's like the lights and the sounds and the blinking and like, there's just people everywhere. And So yeah, there would just, you know, I would just do it. I would still go out and have fun and, well, what I thought, you know, was supposed to be fun. Because I really do like being around people. Like, I'm not shy and yeah, I enjoy, you know, conversations and getting to know people, but I was like pushing it and forcing it. Mm-hmm. And so I later discovered these earplugs that are, they're like audio earplugs, and they're great for like if you're going to a concert. And so people who just want to protect like their hearing quality will get them. You can get them on Amazon. They're like $12. And I got them because I actually had a friend who's really into music who recommended them. And I found that they were great for like going to restaurants or going to a movie theater, because movie theaters now, I'm finding are so loud. Like I just, it's not fun. I love movies and I'm finding I can't, you know, sit through those romantic comedies without violence because they're so loud. And even you know, this morning, that same training, that same talk I was just talking about, I had them with me. They're on a keychain. So I carry them with me. And it just, you know, I didn't think this morning would be an issue, but they were using these microphones and the way they had the speakers, it was echoing off the walls. And I just found it really uncomfortable. Like, you know, it wasn't so much that it was like loud. It was just like abrasive. And so I popped in my earplugs and it just brings everything down a notch. So it doesn't muffle or make everything quiet. It just takes things down a notch. And then I'm like, oh, I can focus again. So,
you know, it's so interesting because I never would have put the auditory stuff together with highly sensitive people. And I am very much like that. Oh. I I can't stand a vacuum cleaner. Mm-hmm. I can't be in a room. I can't be in a house with a vacuum cleaner. It makes me want to pull my eyes out.
Mm-hmm.
Motorcycles, I can't stand that. Mm-hmm. I don't like to listen to live music because it's too loud. Mm-hmm. I can't study or read when I have a TV or radio on. Mm-hmm. So I never would have guessed that that was a highly sensitive trait.
Yeah. Yeah. So it can be any of the senses. So smell, definitely some smells really bother me, and I tend to be more attuned to just a smell in general. So I often find, you know, at home, I'm like, oh, do you smell that? And my husband's like, no, I don't smell anything. And I'm like, you know, so I'm like, I have to find it. Where's it coming from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, like bright lights bother me. And to the point, even when I'm trying to sleep, like if there's any light in the room, it bothers me. So, but most of the time, sight isn't an issue. It's like, again, only like if I'm in Vegas and there's like neon lights blinking everywhere. But, and you know, the other like taste, I mean, that one doesn't pop up to me for me as much. And then touch. So texture. So, I mean, I don't think I'm particularly sensitive to touch and texture kind of things. I mean, I think like if a tag is poking me, I think most people would be irritated by like an itchy tag on their clothing, something like that. But so I think on, you know, some people might have that to a higher degree, like certain fabrics, maybe they just can't wear. Yeah. Or to the point of even getting like rashes and actually their skin getting irritated. Like some people might have more of that sensitivity there. Mm-hmm. So
what are these earplugs called?
So they're called hearing protection earplugs, and there's quite a few different brands out there. So you could Google that and kind of look through them, see which ones would be a good fit for what you're looking for. But they are different than like earplugs you'd wear at night to go to bed, where you really want to like shut out all sound. These are again about just bringing everything down a notch. So you can still enjoy that concert or the movie, but you're not getting like at full force.
Okay. All right. I'll have to check into that.
Yeah.
Is there any time that it would be appropriate for someone to just suck it up if they have a certain personality trait? So I'll give you an example with that then. So I used to work with someone who identified herself as obsessive compulsive. And she would, in a lot of work situations with clients and coworkers, cause a bit of a ruckus, and then she would just be like, well, deal with it, I'm obsessive compulsive, it's just my obsessive compulsiveness. And one of our coworkers, you know, she had a really strong reaction to that, and she would say, well, okay, but just because you are that way doesn't mean that you don't need to deal with it somehow, and you're in this work situation and you are a therapist, so could you manage that personality trait of yours and be a little bit more appropriate? And so I'm wondering if there is some aspect of traits, either this one or others, but that you do need to manage it a little bit.
Well, so you're saying, you know, should somebody just get over it and, you know, put what they're experiencing to the side and push past it? Okay. Well, I would say it's a balancing act, in that, you know, some of the things I've already mentioned are tools that help me specifically be able to be happy and present in my environment. And then, you know, some of the things are just boundaries, like I don't need to go to Vegas, so I don't have to go. You know, I don't need to watch violent movies. So, and that doesn't really, you know, affect people around me too much. But I could see where there could be situations where, you know, let's say like a friend's having a birthday party at a really loud restaurant, and I know that's like one of those crowded places. It's where you can bring in, you know, those tools like the earplugs. You can also, you know, ask for support and just, mm-hmm. you know, tell a close friend, you know, that mm-hmm. this is kind of overwhelming, or this is, you know, hard for me. Do you mind if I sit on the end? Or maybe you prefer a seat in the corner. You know, so there's these little adjustments that I mm-hmm. think are fair mm-hmm. to request. And I once somebody recognizes and accepts that they're HSP, then they're more likely to be able to say, hey, you know, do you mind if I have the corner seat? Or it's really cold in here. You know, do you mind if you hand me the Afghan over there? You know, it's mm-hmm. just kind of, you know, you're still being respectful and considerate of other people. But if there is something that can be adjusted in the environment so you're more comfortable, I think that's fair. But it can be a problem where if you're completely avoiding things, mm-hmm. right? So that's where I'd say definitely read her book, Dr. Aaron's mm-hmm. book, and consider that there might be ways to still be social, still have fun, and still be comfortable mm-hmm. without, you know, isolating completely. Mm-hmm. So she also talks about in her book 5 ways to handle over arousal, especially in social situations. So there is like kind of tips in her book for helping people adjust. So going back to your question, I don't think it's ever going to be about, oh, just suck it up, but it's more about, okay, what can I do to feel comfortable and safe in this environment? Mm-hmm. And to be considerate of the other people who aren't HSPs, you know, and so you want to again find that balance between the two. So she suggests remembering that over arousal is not necessarily fear. So that could be especially true for somebody who's been told, you know, that they're anxious or just afraid, when really they're, again, just more sensitive to what's going on. So mm-hmm. kind of relabeling what's happening to you. Find other HSPs to talk to one-on-one. Mm-hmm. So bonus, you know, if you know mm-hmm. someone, another friend who's similar to you, you know we're alike now, right? Mm-hmm. use your arousal reducing skills. So that could be, again, those tools you bring with you. So, you know, maybe it's sunglasses, maybe it's earplugs, maybe it's mindful breathing, maybe somebody has a like an object they bring with them to ground, like maybe it's a piece of jewelry or a stone, you know, any of those things. Like I have, you know, I've worked with people who, you know, they get really, you know, overstimulated in like airports or when they're traveling, you know, mm-hmm. headphones, put some music mm-hmm. on, you know, that's mm-hmm. kind of a skill to be used. Fourthly, develop a kind of good persona and consciously use it. And so what she's talking about here is, again, kind of accepting your own HSP and being comfortable with that. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I'm okay, I'm safe. You know, your body's kind of starting off your alarm system sometime, but it's recognizing that I am in a safe place right now. I am okay, you know. Uh-huh. So, you know, even though I'm watching this violent movie and my body's starting to like, woo, it's like, well, it's not really actually happening. It's just a story, you uh-huh. know. Uh-huh. And so, you know, kind of talking yourself through that and recognizing I'm okay.
Right.
And explain your trait to others is her 5th suggestion. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and when I pop out my earplug, sometimes people are like, oh, what are those? And I just explain, like, I just find it really loud in here. So this kind of helps uh-huh. me be able to really listen to you and focus on what you're saying. And most people are like, oh, that's cool. You know? Uh-huh. So, yeah, I mean, I think it, you know, sharing if you, you know, obviously if you feel comfortable, you know, what's going on for you. And I think most people would be understanding if they really mm-hmm. understand what HSP is. Mm-hmm. You know, people might have to educate that it doesn't mean you're being too sensitive. It's mm-hmm. it's really a physical response that's happening mm-hmm. that you don't have the most control over unless you put in, you know, a device to tone it down. You do mm-hmm. have control over how you respond to it and mm-hmm. how you label it. So overall, I would say that just knowing about HSP is a benefit, and that, you know, once someone is aware that they're HSP already, they're doing themselves a service, and they can help themselves in the future by not getting as upset or irritable in a situation where they don't know why they're feeling what they're feeling. And you know, what do we all do when we're feeling upset? We try to figure out what it is. We label it. We call it something. And if you don't know, then they might be putting it on something that it's not. You know, oh, right. My partner's irritating me, or this, you know, my boss is upsetting me. And, you know, it could be, but it could also be that they're just getting over aroused in that, or overactivated in that situation. So, so I encourage our listeners to, you know, read about it if any of this resonates with you. And the book is, you know, again, available online. And
I'll put a link to it on our website.
Great.
Too.
Yeah. Great idea. And then if any listeners have questions about it, they can always email us and we can follow up with them.
Yeah. Wonderful. Great. Okay. So welcome back, everybody. We're glad we're here. And, stay tuned for our next episode. As always, you can find us on saverpodcast.com. You can send us emails at info@saverpodcast. You know, like us, share us, spread the word, give us reviews, and keep your suggestions coming because we really do appreciate them.
Yep. Great. So we say for the next couple of weeks, savor your ability to be sensitive and attuned to your environment.